2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're up to verses 8 through 11. I don't know if we'll get through them all this morning. Any of you that may be new, we're just studying the book of 2 Peter, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And these verses build on each other, but let's begin in verse 8. It says this, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, Peter here is building upon verses 5, 6, and 7. Notice in verse 8, it says, "For if these things," verse 9, "but he that lacketh these things," to understand verse 8 and verse 9, you got to know about the things he was talking about in verses 5 through 7. These are those seven incremental graces. It says in verse 5, "And besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." And then he tells us about seven things that we should add to our faith in succession. Add to your faith, number one, virtue. That's moral purity. And to virtue knowledge, that's facts and understanding about God. Then add to knowledge temperance, the ability to control yourself. Holy Spirit given temperance. And then add to temperance, patience, which is enduring faith. The ability to just endure in your faith in God and never, ever doubt Him, even when it seems like He's nowhere near you. Enduring faith. That's patience, waiting on God, allowing God to do what He wants when He wants to do it, and not telling Him and not dictating to God what He's going to do, but patience, just waiting on God. And then it takes patience to become godly. Godliness, verse 6, that means God-likeness, being like the Lord, being conformed to His image. And then to add to godliness, number 7, brotherly kindness. This is where we love our brothers in the Lord and we're kind to them. And then ultimately, the ultimate grace is charity. And to brotherly kindness, charity. And if you think through these things, and we went over these last Sunday morning, so I don't want to take the time to go over them again deeply, but they build on each other. Several years ago, I preached a sermon on this text in our church, and some of you may have remembered this. I tried to remind you this last week where I had a ladder on the stage here. Do you remember that? A ladder on the platform. And we talked about the seven rungs and how you can't skip any rungs. But one by one, you climb this ladder, and the higher you get, the more you can see, the farther you can see, the more you can understand about God. And when you get to that highest rung, which is charity, which is where we become like the Lord, we just love like God loves. And the sixth rung, brotherly kindness, where we love God's people. We love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And then charity, we love God, we love the lost, we love everybody. In a biblical definition of love, not in some mushy sentimental love. But that's when we can see the farthest. Now, those seven things, those incremental graces of Christian development. Verse number 8 says, "For if these things," these seven things, "be in you and abound." If these things, these seven graces, be in you and abound. If. Now, if is a big word, isn't it? Verse 8. For if, let's not in our pride think, well, of course I got them. I'm in church. I'm in Sunday school. Well, no, we might not even be on the first rung yet. We might still be on the base, and that's just faith. We've gotten saved. But verse 5 says, add to your faith virtue. Are you morally pure? Are you morally pure? Verse 8 says, for if these things be in you and abound, they, these seven graces, make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. He that lacketh these seven graces, he that lacketh virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, he that lacketh these things is blind. Can you be saved and still be blind? Absolutely. You can be saved and still be blind. Folks, these verses this morning that we studied kind of answer the question for me, why is it that some people get saved? As far as we know, they seem to get gloriously converted, born again, they truly believe on Christ, they call on the Lord, they receive Christ as their Savior, and then sometimes they never go to church, never grow in the Lord, or they do just for a short time, and then it's almost like nothing happened to them. They're just back out into the world, back out into their own life. And we struggle, don't we? We say, did that person really get saved or not? And some people, probably some of you even, have just quit on evangelism. You've just quit because you say, well, I don't know if these people are really getting saved or not. Well, Peter did. Peter said there's a bunch of people who really get saved, but they never grow. They never add to their faith virtue. They never add to virtue knowledge. They never add to knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. They never add to those things. And because they never add to their faith, they lack these things, verse 9. They cannot see afar off. They're blind, and they have forgotten that they were purged from your old sins. Now, I'll tell you what, as soon as you forget that you're purged from your old sins, you're ready to backslide. You're ready to go back into the world. And I know that, currently I'm struggling with some people. My daughter's struggling with some people, some of these teen girls, and town that we've gotten them into church, we've gotten them under the sound of the gospel, they've gotten saved, they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they get no encouragement at home, their fathers laugh at them for going to church, their mothers laugh at them, their brothers and sisters laugh at them, and it has just become a heavy burden on them that they finally just quit. Now, unspiritual people will say, well, they must not have really gotten saved. But the fact is, they did get saved, but they just haven't added virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. So we should evangelize. We should try to win people to Christ. But we should not get discouraged if there are some people who we evangelize who are described in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So please don't get discouraged about your converts, and please don't quit evangelizing because you say, well, I just don't see the fruit and so on. Yeah, I didn't see the fruit in my own life for about 10, 11 years. I can remember a season in my own life where I was out there like God didn't even exist. I never read the Bible. I didn't pray. I didn't go to church or anything, but I was saved. I don't care what anyone says. I was saved. But see, I just wasn't adding things to my faith. And so Peter deals with this question here in verses 8 through 11. And he also tells us what to do about it. If you're here today and you're not growing, you're going to die pretty soon here. You're going to be walking around like a blind man. You're going to forget that you were purged from your old sins. And it says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, there it is again, these things, three times. These things, verse 8. These things, verse 9. these things, verse 10, if you do these things, you shall never fall. What things? Add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. Add to knowledge temperance. Add to temperance patience. Add to patience godliness. Add to godliness brotherly kindness. Add to brotherly kindness charity. Keep doing these things. It says you shall never fall. And what a promise that is. But it's got to be done with diligence. I want you to notice the word diligence in verse 10. The word diligence in verse 5. Besides this, giving all diligence, verse 5, add to your faith. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, verse 10, give diligence. See, there's just way too much laziness today in the Christian graces. If, verse 8, if these things be in you. Now, the fact that the word if appears in verse 8 means that it must be possible. It must be possible for a believer to have virtue. It must be possible for a person who has virtue to then add knowledge to their life, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and charity. It must be possible, or God wouldn't have given us the word if. If these things be in you. It's possible. But not only if they be in you, notice verse 8, and abound. In other words, you really get a lot of virtue, a lot of moral purity. A lot of knowledge about God, a lot of temperance, self-control, a lot of patience, the ability just to trust in God and endure in faith, a lot of godliness, Christ-likeness, and a lot of brotherly kindness. You just love the brothers and sisters in the Lord. You're kind to them. And a lot of charity. If these things abound, notice, these graces, make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, they make you to be neither barren nor unfruitful. Now, here's two words we need to just pause and define. The word barren means to be idle, slow, or lazy. Victory never comes to lazy people. God doesn't bless laziness. This word barren comes from a Greek word, argos. It means to be idle, to be slow. Oh, I'm just slowly growing in the Lord. Lazy. It means shunning the labor one ought to perform. To be at leisure. To be free from labor. That's what the word barren means. Laziness is a great blockade to blessings. A person cannot be growing in the Lord and being lazy at the same time. What is your character today? When no man sees you but God, are you lazy? Or are you diligent? He's contrasting laziness here and diligence. And besides this, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith. I know some people are proud and think they've arrived and they know all this and so on and so forth. And those are the worst kind. It's so sad to see anybody ever get to that stage. There's no such thing as arriving in the Christian life. We should always be growing. We should have all seven of these graces, and all seven should be growing and swelling and expanding at the same time in us. But there's no place for laziness. It says, if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be lazy or barren, idle, shunning the labor one ought to perform, nor unfruitful. Now, this word unfruitful here means to be yielding, or not to be yielding, rather, that you be neither barren nor unfruitful. We ought to be fruitful. And notice this. It says, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some people are lazy about learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people are unfruitful in about learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many believers today, and it's sometimes discouraging, but you can talk to them about the weather, you can talk to them about sports, you can talk to them about business, You can talk to them about politics. You can talk to them about all kinds of subjects, but you can't talk to them intelligently about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just a subject they don't want to deal with. I've been in some of those situations lately, even with some church members where I was trying to test the waters, and I tried to bring up the Lord Jesus Christ, just simple statements, like face-to-face statements, like, boy, isn't the Lord good? And they just go silent. You know, they'll talk about weather, entertainment, movies, sports, anything, but just, man, hasn't the Lord been good? Just silence. This person is unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I went out soul winning yesterday with Brother Dean Runyon. He was with us for our men's meeting, the missionary from Guyana, South America. And oh, man, it was like just like being in heaven. Just to go, and we were witnessing and sitting in the guy's living room over in Derby, and just shared the gospel with him and brought him to the knowledge of Christ. It was glorious. But just riding around the car, he just wanted to talk about the Lord. And I just wanted to talk about the Lord. I mean, we would have felt contaminated if the weather came up, or if sports came up, or if money came up, or something like that. He didn't even want to talk about his broken back and the titanium cage he's got in his back right now and how he had to learn. He doesn't even want to talk about that. He just wanted to talk about the Lord. He and I think, would have just felt contaminated if sports came up or something like that. We just wanted to talk about the Lord, how good the Lord's been to us, how real the Lord's been to us, what the Lord's been doing in Guyana. What has the Lord been doing here in Eden, Pastor Cole? And what's the Lord been doing in your life? What have you seen about the Lord lately that you haven't seen before? What's he shown you recently about himself? Not about Bible verses and doctrine and principles and organization of the church and administration. What's the Lord shown you about himself lately? How do you know him more intimately? What have you seen? These are the things. And just to drive around all morning with him, so refreshing. It's so rare. So rare that even among believers, you just find people that are literally barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're saved, but they are barren and unfruitful in the knowledge, in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. They're lazy in their efforts to really get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They're unfruitful in really getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ. As a result of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, what kind of fruit is starting to blossom and show itself in your life? You know, because I know the Lord, this is starting to show in my life. I'm starting to love people more. I'm starting to care about people more. I'm starting to be more patient. I'm starting to pray more. I'm starting to witness more. And all the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ is starting to hang off the tree of my life more and more and more and more abundance. Today, this morning, are you barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really know him personally? Or have you been lazy in getting to know him? Have you been lazy in getting to know the Lord? Has it been an unfruitful practice getting to know the Lord? Is it something where you're just kind of like, well, I can't wait to get out of here. When's this going to be over? Or is it something that you just say, oh, God, it was great to be in church today. I saw something about the Lord I'd never seen before. Thank you, Lord. So wonderful. Thank you so much. See, these seven graces cannot be in us and not have an effect on us. You can't get to charity, for instance. You can't get to brotherly kindness and just have a give or take attitude towards church. Why? Because those are your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You can't get to that grace and not have it affect you. When you get to that sixth rung on the ladder of brotherly kindness, and you're growing there, then guess what shows up in your life? Brotherly kindness. I love the brethren. I love the sisters in the Lord. That's what you start saying. I want to be around them. They're my family. I want to help them. I want to pray for them. I want to see how they're doing. And I love it when I see people who capture that spirit. It means they're growing. They love the brethren. They love to have them over to their house. They love to entertain them, show hospitality towards them, fellowship with them, pray with them, be with them, go out and work with them, visit with them. When you get to that top rung of charity, you can't have charity without knowing God, for God is love. You see things about God, and you see what love is. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Blind. Saved, but blind. Saved is blind. And cannot see afar off. He doesn't have much of a vision. Doesn't have much of a vision. She doesn't have much of a vision. Can't see very far off. Just kind of blind. All they see is themselves. You ever see a saved person? All they think about is themselves. All they talk about is themselves. Their problems, their health, their trials, their tribulations. Just they can't see afar off. They can't see beyond themselves. And they're missing such a glorious vision of God that God wants to show them. Life's just about themselves. It's so nearsighted. Our governor is very nearsighted that they call him legally blind. All he can do is see a little bit of forms. David Patterson, pray for him. Pray for him. And I know he needs our prayers, especially with some of the things he believes, but he also needs prayers for his health. He can't see afar off. He's had several operations already since he's been our governor. I've been praying for him that they'll work, they'll help him. But he can't see afar off. He's extremely nearsighted. He's legally blind. He can't drive. He's got to have people a lot of times guide him around places and so on and so forth. He's very, very nearsighted physically. And yet, the Bible's saying right here that many people are like that spiritually. Can't see afar off. It's just about them. Oh, I got my feelings hurt. This person offended me. And nobody cared about me. Nobody said hi to me. Nobody talked to me. And nobody ever has me over to their house. And nobody thinks about me. And it's all about me. It's nearsighted. Why? They don't have any charity, a person that thinks like that or talks like that. They don't have any brotherly kindness. They don't have these things. In verses 5 through 7, these seven graces. Boy, I'll tell you what, when we start to just say, you know, I'm going to go forward, I'm going to go up the ladder, it says then we can see afar off. Then we see things about God. We see things about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think God wants to show us. God is so deep, so broad. Paul said in his prayer that you might know the height and the breadth and the depth and the width of God. I believe there's things he could show you about himself for the rest of your life if you just get up high enough to see it. He just keeps showing you and showing you and showing you until finally you end up being a very, very lonely person because all you got is God left because there's not many humans that want to talk about it. Not even in church. Not many people that want to know the Lord and see the Lord. We need to keep ourselves in the love of God. It says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. What a horrible thing to forget. What a horrible thing to forget. I think those of you that were here yesterday, what a powerful message from Brother Dean Runyon out of Isaiah 51 there. And just a portion of scripture that I had read so many times in my life, but sometimes you need someone to bring it out to you. And he said over there, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock, from whence you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. And he talked about having two directions. Look to the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, but don't forget the hole that he dragged you out of. Isaiah 51:6. Boy, that'll help. Sometimes we forget the hole of the pit that the Lord pulled us out of. And that's what Peter's saying here. He had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. What a horrible thing to forget. What a horrible thing to forget that we were purged from our old sins. Now, what should we do about this? Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. I want you to notice the word calling, that's the invitation, and election, that's the choice. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make sure you remember your calling when God invited you to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And your election, the choice you made to receive Him as your Savior. It says, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. He's talking about here the security of the believer. Make sure you are saved. Nail it down. Get the eternal security of your salvation. It says, if you will, you shall never fall. Now, that's one of the most important doctrines that you understand, is the eternal security of the believer. It is not enough for you just to believe you're saved because a pastor told you, or a soul winner told you, or a Sunday school teacher told you, or your mother or father told you. You need to get into the Word of God and nail it down. I know that as I look back at my little Christian life, my little life in the Lord, when I wasn't sure of my salvation, that's when I fell. And I spent several years, three, almost 4 years, away from the Lord, away from church, away from the Bible, away from prayer, away from fellowship, living in sin as a prodigal. When I came back to the Lord and rededicated my life to the Lord, one of the things that helped me the most was a man who gave me a couple of books called "Make Sure Knowing What You Believe and Why You Believe It." And since that time, there has not been a doctrine that I have studied more in my Bible than the doctrine of soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. If there was one doctrine I wanted to nail down, it was I wanted to make sure I knew that I was saved and why I was saved, and not because some pastor told me, not because the person who led me to Christ told me, or my mother or father or anybody else told me, but because God's Word said. And the condensed product of that study is over on that table over there. It's called Soteriology. It's a book on the doctrine of salvation, where I got it nailed down that I'm saved because God says I'm saved, and I can show you why in the Bible. Ask me any day, and I can turn to the verse after verse after verse after verse after verse after verse after verse in the Scripture, principle after principle after principle after principle after principle in the Scripture. You ask me any day, I can show you why I'm saved and why I'm secure. But brethren, that took diligence. That took shutting the television off, shutting the sports off, getting rid of many of the hobbies and things I was involved in, and getting my Bible out. And since that time in my life, I've never fallen. By God's grace, He's helped me to keep standing. I don't know anybody who's ever really amounted to anything yet for Christ until they got the assurance of their own salvation from their own diligent study. And that's what God is saying here through Peter in verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you get down your salvation, that doctrine of soteriology, and if you start to add to your faith purity, virtue, moral purity, you give up your sin, you repent, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, and then you add to that virtue knowledge, you start getting in the Bible, and you start learning everything you can about God, everything you could possibly think of about God, doctrine and principles and geography and anything, you never know when you're going to need it. And then you add to that knowledge temperance. And with God's help, you begin to learn self-restraint and self-control. And that leads you to become a disciple of Christ. And you can't be a disciple of Christ without a lot of discipline. The word disciple comes from the word discipline. You've got to have temperance. And then you add the temperance, patience. You wait on God and you say, okay, God, I'm going to allow you to work in my life. I'm not going to quit while you're working on me. One of the biggest enemies we have to our Christian development is our own selves. We get so discouraged with our own selves, we give up. We've got to have patience while God is working on us. God is not in a hurry. He is working on us, and He's working on us thoroughly and throughly. And He'll take time. God will take 10 years just to teach you one lesson that you need to build. And that, but it takes a lot of patience. And too many people don't have the patience. They say, oh, I just sinned again. I quit. I give up. Why should I even go to church? Why should I even read the Bible? Why should I even pray? I'm just going to fail again. That's not patience. Patience is enduring faith. It's saying that God is in me and God will perform that which He's begun on me unto the day of redemption. And then you add the patience, godliness. You can only be godly through patience. It takes a long time for God to help us become godly like Him. Godly means godlike. And then you've got to go to that sixth rung, brotherly kindness. You say, well, I hate people. People have used me all my life. People have hurt me. Look, if Jesus suffered for sinners, we must suffer for sinners too. We can't get to that sixth rung and say, no, I'm not going to live for others. If Jesus suffered for sinners, we ought to suffer for sinners too. And then charity. And then these things, brethren, if these things are in you, you shall never fall. You shall never fall. You shall never fall. I'm amazed how easy the Lord's yoke is and how light His burden is. I'm amazed. I thought it would be the hardest thing on earth. But He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. But He says, come unto me, all ye, and He said, learn of me. Learn of me. Learn of me. But it says right here in verse 8, if we're lazy and unfruitful in learning about Jesus Christ, we're going to walk around saved but blind, not knowing where we're going, making all kinds of mistakes, becoming disillusioned with God. I thought God was going to help me. And the fact of the matter is we never grew in our knowledge of the Lord. You know, I know Leslie a lot more now, almost 29 years that I've been married to her, than the first day I met her. Would you agree with that? I know her a whole lot more now because I talk to her every day. We just talk and talk. We have such a good time. Just went down to the beach last night and just watched the sunset, just talked for a half hour about things. I talk to her all the time. I know her so well. But the first day I met her, I didn't know a thing about her. Didn't even know her name. But I met her. You know, and that's like salvation, meeting Christ. You meet Christ when you're saved, but that doesn't mean you know Christ. You just meet Him, you trust Him as your Savior. But then as you walk with Him, you can get to know Him as a person and know all about Him and go with Him and work with Him, and He becomes intimate to you, He becomes real to you, and it just seems like when you really, really get to know Him. Man, I've seen people walk with the Lord for 70 years and never fell. Never fell. Well, I'll guarantee you, when you see someone fall, it's because they were barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You shall never fall. What a statement. I don't know if I was kind of struggling this morning. I don't know if I made any sense out of this text to you or not. But I hope maybe the Holy Spirit did. And what I'm trying to say this morning is don't be lazy in your relationship to Christ. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. I mean, just get up in the morning, get the book open. Oh, Jesus, show me Yourself today in Your Word. Go somewhere alone with God in prayer and say, Lord, I want to know You. It's okay to know doctrine. It's okay to prepare your Sunday school lesson. It's okay to prepare for your ministry. It's okay to prepare a sermon to preach. It's okay to learn, study the Bible for those things, but we got to get the Bible open and say, oh, Lord, I just want to know You. Jesus, show Yourself to me. Let me learn something about You I've never known before. Let me get closer to You. Don't be lazy. Don't be unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. Don't just shut your Bible and say, I didn't get anything out of that. I didn't get anything out of that sermon. I didn't get anything out of that Sunday school. I don't even know why I bother coming. Don't be unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, oh God, I'm going to church today. Speak to my heart somewhere along the line. Give me something, oh God. If it's not through the pastor or the teacher or the singer, then let it be through the Holy Spirit. But show me something today about you, oh Jesus, so I can know you better. Make sure your election and calling, make sure you're saved. Paul said the same thing. He said in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Paul said, examine yourselves. Peter said, examine yourselves. Make sure of your election and calling. Get it nailed down. Say, yes, I am saved. Because God said so. And I can show you why. I was there when it happened. And I can show you what happened that day from this book. I know I'm saved. It says, if you do these things, you'll never fall. You never fall. You never give up. You never slow down. You'll never say, well, it's time for the younger ones to take over. I've done my part. No, no. You know, I think my frustration is the more I know the Lord, the more I love the Lord, I just can't do enough for Him. I just can't do enough for Him. And I hope you feel that way too. Not that we're in any bondage to works or anything, but I just love Him. I just say, Lord, it just seems like I can't do enough for you for all you've done for me. You shall never fall. Paul and Peter, they're not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. They're trying to get you to examine it. To examine it and to say, okay, I am saved. Now let me start up the rungs. So I can see afar off and really enjoy the Lord to the fullest in this life. It says, if you do these things, you'll never fall. Wow, what a formula. Man. What a formula for success. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I don't know whether I communicated or not. It doesn't matter how I try or perform, but I pray the Holy Spirit would show us that we cannot be lazy about our relationship to our Lord. We cannot be unfruitful. Father, maybe some in this room today have not really learned a new thing about you in a long time. They haven't seen a new glimpse of you in a long time. And I pray that today would be a day of change and direction in their life. Lord, I pray that those that have been lazy about their relationship to you would repent and become diligent and just say, I want to know you, Lord. I don't want to fall behind. Not where I ought to be, but I want to know you. As Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable to his death. Whatever it takes, Lord, I want to know you, he said. Oh, Lord, it's not enough to be saved and walk around blind. We see enough people like that who get saved and then just seem to still walk around in blindness. We want to be able to see afar off. Lord, help us not to be lazy or unfruitful in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in His name. Amen.